ونعود بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدى هدى رسول الله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, they used to see themselves individually as well as family. They see themselves as integral parts of the development of the Muslim community. So it was from their state of being, their state of mind, it was from their seerah that the Muslim has been shown it's your responsibility to see yourself as an integral part of the growth and the development of Al-Islam. If you're a person who is sitting there, like the Jew or the Christian, the Sikh or the Hindu, and his religion is going to church on Sunday or some munasabat occasions here or there, then you're not getting the correct picture. The hadith of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, khayrukum anfa'akum linnas, the best of you is the one who brings the most benefit to others, is one of the many irshadat of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam that made the companions feel each and every person is an integral part of the growth and the development of the Muslim community. You have a responsibility. It's as if our community is a big jigsaw puzzle, and everybody is a piece of the puzzle, and you have to bring your piece of the puzzle and fit it in. It's the responsibility of the leaders of the community, like the heads of each family, the leading businessmen, the administration of the masjid, those people who know how to get things done. It's their job and it's their responsibility to fit the pieces together. No doubt everybody has a responsibility. So what the companions used to do, may Allah be pleased with them, is that each and every one of them tried to make sure that he wasn't one of the individuals who worked against the development of the community. And the people who work against the development of the Muslim community, who claim Islam, they're the hypocrites, the munafiqeen. If anyone were to read this Quran with contemplation and consideration, not just reading it like the Khawarij who the Prophet told us about, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yaqra'una al-Qur'an wa la yujawizu hanajiruhum. They are a group of people who read the Qur'an and it doesn't go past their throats. There are some people who are like that. Not just the Khawarij. There are people who just read the Qur'an and they just read in the Qur'an. So Allah put forth the question, afala yatadabburuna al-Qur'ana am ala qulubin aqfaluha. When they read the Qur'an, won't they contemplate and consider the message? Or are their locks on their hearts? So before making the point, I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. How can a person read the Quran? How can he read the Quran? And he believes, as many Muslims believe, that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam knows the ilm al-ghayb. Or that he believes that the Prophet is hazir nazir, he's omnipresent. He believes that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you can make dua to him in the grave or any dead person. He believes that. And he's reading the Quran. And the Quran is replete with ayat telling us, don't do that. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can't help himself except if Allah allows. قُلْ لَا أَمْلِكُ لِنَّفْسِي نَفْعًا وَلَا دَرًّا إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَلَوْ كُنْتُ أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبِ لَاسْتَكْثَرْتُ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ. Tell them, Muhammad, I don't have the ability, my followers, to help my own self or to harm my own self except by what Allah wants. And if I knew the unseen, no evil would have ever touched me, and I'd only increase the good. If he knew the unseen, he would have said on the day of Uhud, my uncle Hamza, you're going to get killed on this day, don't go out. So the point is, how can someone read the Quran and come and he says that there's a Rasul after Rasulillah, someone comes and he says, Ali is this, how can he say that in Pakistan a few days ago? And this is not a dig at the Pakistani community. In Pakistan, when those people went into the school and killed 135 innocent kids, how in the world could that person be saying he reads the Quran? By which stretch of the imagination can someone come to the conclusion that that's possible, that's permissible? So many people read the Quran, but do we read the Quran with contemplation, consideration? If you read that Quran with contemplation and consideration, you'll find there are many ayat and many surah that were revealed. But the way that they were revealed is not the way we have that Quran. The tartib of the Quran, Surah Al-Fatiha, Surah Al-Baqarah, Ali Imran, Al-Nisa, Al-Ma'idah, and so forth and so on, the Quran wasn't revealed like that. It was revealed, as you know, Iqra came first, Al-Alaq, and Mudathir came. Some scholars said the other way around. But Jibril used to come to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam every Ramadan, and he would say, Ya Muhammad, put this surah here, put this ayat here, put this surah here, put this ayat here. So the Quran as we have it, it's not revealed with this tartib, but that's the tartib ilahi. That's what Allah means. That's what Allah means. Now the first subject matter of the Quran is Surah Al-Fatiha, and it wasn't the first surah revealed. But in Surah Al-Fatiha, the message is about the tawheed of Allah, the lordship of Allah, the right that he has to be worshipped, his names and his attributes. And in that surah is, follow the companions. They are the Sirat al-Mustaqim. But then this is the issue. The next surah, if you put Al-Fatiha on the side, Surah Al-Baqarah, the longest surah of the Quran. What's the first subject matter of Surah Al-Baqarah? And this is for the one who contemplates the message of the Quran. The first message of Surah Al-Baqarah is the taqseem of the people, the categories of people in Al-Islam, in the dunya. First category of people are the muttaqeen, the mu'mineen, the people of Islam. Allah described them with three ayats. Three ayats. They believe in the unseen, they establish salah, they give zakat, and so forth and so on. Then he mentioned the kuffar, the kafirin, that no matter what, if you call them, they're not going to believe. It's the same. Allah put a seal on their heart. Two ayat. And then Allah mentioned after that 13 ayat describing the munafiqeen. That's a sign for people who reflect. Three ayat for the believers, two ayat for the kuffar, and 13 ayat for the munafiqeen. Now back to the original point. The companions used to see themselves as individual, integral parts of the community. And they didn't want to be from the munafiqeen, because the munafiqeen, they work against the religion, and they work against the development of this religion and the advancement of the religion. So we see people like Umar radiallahu anhu asking Hudhayth ibn al-Yaman, did the Prophet consider me from the munafiqeen? Did he say that I was from the munafiqeen, Ya Hudhayfa? Although Umar knew that he's in Jannah, Umar knew that he's the best of the human beings after the prophets and the messengers and Abu Bakr. He knew that. We have one of the tabi'een, Ibn Abi Mulaika. He said, Adraktu 30 min ashab al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kullu wahid minhum yakhafu ala nafsi nifaq. I met 30, this tabi'een. He said, I met 30 of the Prophet's companions. 30. Some of them were major. Ali ibn Abi Talib, Aisha, he met 30 of them. He said, the ones that I met, the 30 that I met, each one of them was afraid of hypocrisy on himself. Which hypocrisy? Not the hypocrisy where you go outside of Islam. Because there's a hypocrisy where a person is a kafir. On the inside, he doesn't believe in Islam. But on the outside, he tries to show that he's a Muslim. And then there's the hypocrisy of actions. He's a Muslim, but he has actions and characteristics of the munafiqeen. So the issue of the munafiqeen, ikhwani, is a religious responsibility that you take some time out and you look at yourself. You have to look at yourself. That's part of what we have to do. Because the issue of the munafiqeen is serious. There's a surah in the Quran, surah number 9, it has multiple names. One of the names of this surah, Surah At-Tawbah, that's the name that's well known. Another name is Surah Al-Bara. The one who contemplates the Quran and he comes to know why is it called Al-Bara. It's called Al-Bara because the Muslim who's reading the Quran, he should know crystal clear he can't do New Year's Eve, Christmas, Christmas Eve. He can't participate in that at all. Now is not the time for that discussion, but the point is, one of the names, At-Tawbah Al-Bara. The third name that was given to this surah is Al-Fadiha. Al-Fadiha, the surah that exposed the munafiqeen. You want to know about the munafiqeen? Go to Surah At-Tawbah, ninth surah of the Quran. There's another surah of the Quran called Surah Al-Munafiqun. A whole surah called Al-Munafiqun. The Prophet used to read it on Friday, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, he's a person who was hakim, aqil. He, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, would read every Friday the Surah Al-Munafiqun. So the Muslim is hearing that every week on Friday. That repetition means something. It means, hey, don't be like the munafiqeen. Now, there are some characteristics of the munafiqeen that everybody knows about. Like the famous hadith in Bukhari, and Muslim Abu Huraira said that the Nabi mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, ayatul munafiq thalath. Idha haddatha kadhaba, wa idha wa'ada akhlafa, wa idha tumina khana. The sign of the hypocrite is three. If he talks, he lies. He lies. Now the vast majority of people who we know, not I, we know they lie. As a matter of fact, the society tells us to lie. And it makes you think if you don't lie, you're gonna get in trouble. The person who wants to do his CV, his resume, he wants to get a job, he practically is told, you better lie and inflate the information. Because if you don't, someone's going to get the job instead of you. So he may know two languages, and there's a third language, he knows some words here or there, he'll put on his resume, I know three languages. Lying, lying to get welfare, lying to get extra money, lie, 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 lie. The munafiq, when he is given a promise, he breaks his promise. That's prevalent. That's prevalent. The munafiq, if he's given something as a trust, he will break that trust. Married to a man's daughter, it's a trust. He messes it up. The individual's in charge of the monies, he messes it up. So everybody knows those three characteristics, and they are prevalent, those three characteristics. And the vast majority of people, except those that Allah has rahman, one of those three, if not all three, are in him. The fourth one, he said, if he argues, he starts to become abusive. He starts using foul language, curse words, to express himself. Put aside that one because it's well known. What I want to talk about today, inshallah, remind each and every person here, you have a religious responsibility to see yourself as an integral part of the development of al-Islam. This masjid, that masjid, your family, Islam and moving it forward in an environment where they're giving us the opportunity to do that. So the signs of the munafiqeen that are hidden, that people don't even realize, these are from the signs of the munafiqeen. At the top of the list, I want to give one of those examples, one of those signs, because I've seen it recently when I went to America, where I come from, but I've been living in the UK for the last 8 years. One of the signs of the munafiqeen is they don't respect the sunnah. They don't respect the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His person, what he represented, they don't respect his mansab. They don't respect who he is. There's a man who was living during the time of the companions. His name was Harqus ibn Zuhair. His laqab is Dhu al-Khuwaisira. He grabbed the Prophet one time, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because he was angry with the Nabi, and he grabbed him in his neck and he said, give me some more money and you will not fear, you will not just. Prophet took his hands to pull it off. Umar radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, let me kill him. Let me chop his neck off because he's a munafiq. The Prophet didn't say to Umar, don't say that, because anyone who says something wrong in his presence, he will stop it. If he saw or heard something wrong, he will stop it. He didn't say, don't say that. He said, don't kill him. Do you want the people to say Muhammad kills his companions? So the point here is, grabbing the Prophet like that is disrespect. And who does it? Who disrespects him? The munafiqeen. Look what they did. disrespecting the Sunnah and the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There were a group of munafiqeen to show how they are problematic. Group of these individuals, they were sitting together and they were talking bad about the Prophet and his companions and the religion. One of them said, hey, better be careful, because if this news goes back to him, he may deal with us. One of them said, don't worry about it. You know, Muhammad, if he did get news of what we're saying, you know what we'll do? We'll just lie and make up a story, because he's udhun. He's all ears. Anything he hears, he believes, as if he's ahmak, as if he's safih. So Allah revealed those ayat of the Quran, وَمِنْهُمَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ النَّبِيِّ وَيَقُولُونَ هُوَ أُذُنٌ. From them are those who bother the Nabi, and they say, he's all ears, equivalent to, he's ahmak, he's safi, he's ghabi. No one says that except the munafiq. He's traveling. When was he traveling? To one of the difficult battles of Tabuk. The time when the community has to be focused. We're going to do something. The community has to be focused. No room for disruption. But the munafiqeen, they have nothing better to do except to disrupt and to mess up the time. So what did they do? As they were traveling, two men were on the outside and one was in the middle. The two on the outside riding their horses and one in the middle, they was talking about the Prophet and his companions, making jokes, saying that they were lazy, they were cowards, they eat too much. And the one in the middle, he wasn't saying anything, but he was laughing. Jibril came and told the Prophet about it, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet stopped the people. Everybody stopped. He said, you, come. You said this, and you said that, and you said this, and you said that. And he made all three of them guilty. The leader of the munafiqeen, he came and he said, إِنَّمَا كُنَّا نَخُودُ وَنَلْعَبُ. Ya Muhammad, they would never call him Rasulullah, because the munafiqeen, they don't respect him. They don't respect the sunnah. They came and the leader, Ya Muhammad, we were just wasting time. We were just joking. It's a long journey. Allah revealed the ayahs of the Quran. قُلْ أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ لَا تَعْتَذِرُ قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ. Are you people playing jokes with Allah, His messenger, His ayat? Don't give any excuses because you disbelieve. You see, the two men on the outside and the one in the middle who was laughing. Istihza. That's from the actions of the munafiqeen. What's the point? This is the hidden hypocrisy that Muslims have today. He knows in no way he didn't mean it. How? There are many movements, Ikhwani, in Canada, in the UK, in America, many movements. Our children, their Islam is under siege. The future of Islam in these countries is suspect if we don't get on the ball. And that's because these movements are serious. From the movements is the movement that is called the HBTs, Muslims. Homosexuals, bisexual, and transvestite Muslims. I don't put anyone outside of Islam. If a person is one of those three things, he still could be a Muslim, and his issue is with Allah. If he dies on La ilaha illallah, it's up to Allah. He's under the Mashiach of Allah. But the point is, there's a masjid in America where the transvestite, he comes one Friday, he gives the khutbah. The bisexual man, he gives a khutbah. The gay woman, the next time, she gives the khutbah. Then the next one, someone else gives the khutbah. And the row is peppered with men and women. And the transvestite said in the interview with the news, well, how do you know? If Prophet Muhammad came back, maybe he's going to be a transvestite. How do you know? When Jesus Christ comes back, maybe he's going to be a homosexual. This is istihza. People who say that and believe and things like that, you go outside of the religion of Al-Islam. Now, I don't think anyone here is that extreme. I don't think so. But with our mobile phones, with these WhatsApp and these other applications on the phone, how many messages do people get? They send that message to someone, and it's on the hisab of the deen. Someone wants to show how, doing this life that we're living in, everyone is plugged in to their computer, plugged into the phone, and that's a fact. He wants to show that point. So what does he do? The man is praying. He has the phone, the mobile phone, in his shirt pocket right here, and it's plugged into the wall, into the socket, getting electricity while he's praying. That's not funny in Islam. You get a text message like that, don't send it on, because that's not funny. The people come and they make jokes on the hisab of the religion, from the Arab comedians, from the everybody. That man in the middle, he didn't say anything bad. He was laughing at the joke. How many are the mustahzi'een with the religion of Allah? That is one of the signs of the munafiqeen. Another sign, as I've been mentioning, they are disruptive, destructive, counterproductive. I don't know much about this community. I come here and I go like that. But I know if I lived in this community, I'm not going to agree with everything of the administration. Just not possible. But what happens when I disagree? And what am I disagreeing about? The munafiqeen, you know how they are? They're the type of people who are disruptive. We have some serious goals and objectives. The Prophet, he told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ مَعَالِي الْأُمُورِ وَيَكْرُوا سِسَّافَهَا. Allah loves the high affairs. That you engage yourselves with the high affairs. Get your own business. Raise up and develop the community. He doesn't love the simple issues that people preoccupy themselves with. So he was traveling. He's getting ready to go to the Battle of Tabuk, a very important battle. He's making preparations to leave. At this critical time, the munafiqeen, what did they do? They broke off from his masjid, they went over there, and they made their own masjid. And then they came to him and said, Ya Muhammad, come, before you travel, come, and pray 2 rak'ah in our masjid, to put barakah in our masjid. At this time you come with this, you break off from the masjid at this time, and you go over there. So Allah revealed these ayat describing the munafiqeen. وَالَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مَسْجِدًا دِرَارًا وَكُفْرًا وَتَفْرِيقًا بَيْنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَإِرْصَادًا لِمَنْ حَارَبَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولُهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَلَيَحْلِفُنَّ إِنَّمَا أَرَأْنَا الْحُسْنَى وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّهُمْ لَكَاذِبُونَ. So we describe them as people who break off. Now, listen to me very carefully, ikhwan. One of the signs of the munafiqeen is, as Allah said in Surah Al-Munafiqun, يَحْسَبُونَ كُلَّ سَيْحَةٍ عَلَيْهِمْ هُمُ الْعَدُوُّ فَاحْذَرْهُمْ قَاتَلَهُمُ اللَّهُ أَنَّ يُفَكُونَ. Someone may sit there and say, someone told him to say that. So-and-so put him up there. He's talking about me. Wallahi, nobody told me anything. What I'm telling you is what I know in my masjid back in the UK. What I'm telling you is what I know in America when I came from America. In the masjid, these people are taking the masjid to the court. These people are holding on to the masjid. And the Muslims in the middle are suffering as a result. Serious, serious challenges in front of us. And we have nothing to do but get disrupted and misdirected by the munafiqeen. So as you sit in the community, there are decisions that are going to be made. Being an integral part of the community, you shouldn't be indifferent. You shouldn't be a person who doesn't care about any decisions. Nor should you be a person who says, it has to go my way or no way. My way or the highway. If you're one of those people, you're from the people who have the characteristics of the munafiqeen that are hidden. Don't be disruptive. Bring what you can bring to the table to help the development. And as I mentioned, your children, my children, every child in this masjid, Islam as a whole is under siege. What is the future of Islam for a group of people? You know, in the Battle of Uhud, the companions, I can't say they were defeated, but they were given a serious trial and tribulation, a big lesson because of one sin. And that was that the people left the mountain, the ones who the Prophet said stayed there. One sin by some people and the whole community, they got the recompense of that one sin. Look at our community. When that happened, none of them were drinking khamr. None of them were making zina. None of them were involved in riba. None of them were involved in all of the stuff that's normal with us. Now, how is it that the companions, they get that punishment for one sin. And you look at the integral parts of our community and we're drowning in uyub and the noob. And we want victory. No, victory doesn't come like that. From the characteristics of the munafiqeen. And this is so common that it's pathetic that we don't look at it, we don't consider it. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought that Quran, and that Quran put a lot of emphasis on the prayer. And Allah mentioned in the Quran, وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قاموا كسالى يراؤون الناس ولا يذكرون الله إلا قليلا. Those munafiqeen, if they stand up to pray, they stand up and they're lazy. They don't want to pray. And they only pray to show people that they're praying. When they pray, they only remember Allah a little. So from the characteristics of the munafiqeen, he won't pray if there's no one there to watch him. If people are there to watch him, he'll get up and pray. If he's with people, he'll pray. But by himself, he won't pray. And if he gets up to pray with the people, he's lazy and he's not really praying. He remembers Allah a little bit, a little bit. This is the characteristic of how many people. That's the characteristic of someone's wife. That's the characteristic of her husband. That's the characteristic of our children. They don't pray. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَثْقَلُ الصَّلَاةِ عَلَى الْمُنَافِقِينَ صَلَاةُ الْفَجْرِ وَصَلَاةُ الْعِشَاءِ. The most difficult, heaviest prayer for the hypocrite to make is the Fajr prayer and the Isha prayer. The masjid is full right now, and that's a beautiful thing, but Salatul Fajr today is more important than this prayer. Where are the people at? Where are the people who have the ability to come? And this day, because it's the first of the year, and these are a few days, the second of the year, okay, no problem. Some people come to the masjid, but you have to come to the masjid more than that to prove to yourself you're not a munafiq. Concerning this Jummah, he mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من ترك ثلاثة جمعات بغير عذر كتب من المنافقين. Anyone who misses out on three Jummah, three, he doesn't pray, he will be written down as a munafiq. Our children in the university, 18, 19, 20, 21, that boy has to pray Salatul Jummah. Three, one hadith said, three Jummahs in a row. Three Jummahs in a row. But Allahu Alam, maybe it's just three Jummahs in the year. Last year, Kafir 2014. How many Jummahs did he miss? He missed most of the Jummahs. That's from the signs of the Munafiqeen. From the signs of the Munafiqeen, Ikhwani, is something that I direct to our women, to our daughters and our wives and our sisters. Hidden characteristics of Munafiqeen, the companions used to be afraid of. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-mukhtali'atu, hunna al-munafiqatu. The women who make al-khula, they are the munafiqat, they're the hypocrites. This hadith has two meanings. The mukhtali'at, it comes from the word al-khula, meaning the asl of the word, akhla rajul thobu. He took off his thobe, he took it off. Al-khula, concerning the clothes. There's a time and a place you can take your clothes off, and there's a time and a place you can't. The Muslim woman who doesn't wear hijab and she takes it off to go outside, that's a time she's not supposed to do it. The Prophet says she's a munafiq, because the women munafiq wouldn't wear hijab. That was difficult on them. She's the munafiq. His wife, my wife, his daughter's daughter, my daughter, that's the situation. He's married to a woman that has the characteristics of the munafiq, and it doesn't even move him. He doesn't think about it. He and his wife and daughter, they're integral parts of the development of al-Islam. The second meaning of the mukhtali'at is the woman who's married to a husband. He's a fairly decent man. He's okay. He does his best. But every time something goes wrong, she says, I want a divorce. Give me a khula. So she makes this istikhdar of the talab of the khula. So the munafiqeen, one thing that they don't do, they don't have respect for the hudud of Allah. They don't have respect for the sha'air of al-Islam. So she's a munafiq because she's not respecting this issue. Ikhwani fillah, as I mentioned and I repeat, as you sit there, I don't know how far you come from to come and pray here. I don't know the details of your life, but you have to get in where you fit in the Islamic community. Everybody, we don't have this thing, this concept, I'm a passive participant. The traffic is just going by and I'm over here. Everybody has a responsibility to some degree to help the development of the religion of al-Islam. أَقُلُّ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ وَلَكُمْ وَنَسْأَلَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى تَوْفِيقْ وَالسَّدَادِ. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. From the signs of the munafiqeen, ikhwani, if something is established in this religion, they reject it. No matter how many ayat, no matter what you bring to them, they're going to reject it. One of the things that has to be established here today is, as you all know, today is the 11th of Rabi al-Awwal, and tomorrow is supposed to be the Prophet's birthday, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't have time to really waste to try to show and explain to you how that's khurafat. Don't be like the kuffar of Mecca, Quraysh. Don't be like the Jews and the Christians. Don't be like the Sikhs and the Hindus. Worshiping Allah, you don't know what you're doing. Don't be like that. But the point is, there is no proof in this dunya that the Prophet was born, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the 12th of Rabi al-Awwal. But there is proof that the Prophet died on the 12th of Rabi al-Awwal. I want to repeat that. There is no proof in the dunya. We don't know when any prophet or messenger was born. Just a few weeks ago, a few days ago, the Nasara were telling us Isa ibn Maryam was born December 25th. And every Muslim was standing up and say, Kadabud, you're lying. And then we come and we turn around as an ummah and we say, Rabi al-Awwal, the 12th of Rabi al-Awwal. There's no proof that any prophet, we have no proof that any prophet when he was born. But there's proof that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our Nabi, our Rasul, who in these days we have come to talk about him, to discuss and to rehearse his seer and what he did so that we can love him more. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died on the 12th of Rabi al-Awwal. He died and we're celebrating the birthday. That's the way the munafiqeen are. They worship and they make whatever they want to make in the religion. So the call here today is very simple. See yourself as an integral part of the community. See yourself as someone who has something to give in this community. And one of the best things that you can give is bring your skill to the table and bring your monies to the table. Are we going to remain stuck in this place forever? Or are we going to take it to the next step? May Allah protect us from being from the munafiqeen. And may he make us of those people who are established on his deen, the people of the Ansar of the Sunnah al-Muhammadiyah. And may Allah Ta'ala protect us and our children and our parents from al-nifaq and put us all in the Jannah without any adab, without any hisab. Aqim as-salat yarhamakum Allah. Hal fikum man yahfidh kitab Allah? Hal fikum hamil kitab Allah? Wa ghayr? Doctor, akhuna, tfadda.